We head to Loa's.
Loa was a voodoo priestess with a curiosity shop in the quarter.
She sells witch potions. She might have a healing tonic.
Monroe sighed.
Music to my ears.
Loa was a comely one, with abundant curves and coffee and cream skin. She tended to show off both in revealing garments. He cast Will a sidelong glance.
You've had a change of heart about your mate? When I realized who her father was, I imagined her to be like him. But I think she's good. She talked about being a soccer player. Football, huh? Is that how your female got those scars?
She had surgical scars on one wrist, an ankle, and her right knee.
Don't be looking at her legs!
Will yanked her frock down, accidentally ripping the lower half clean away, leaving her in only the top of her gown, the makeshift bandage, and her sleek, black underwear. He took deep breaths to tamp down his beast. Inhale. Exhale. Precarious moments passed.
Good man. You got control. Heading back to normal. Well, relatively. I think you can risk taking her bag off. You must be dying to see what she looks like. I'm going to behold my mate's face for the first time.
He nervously clawed through the bag's tie. With a shaking hand, he began to draw the material away, revealing her face. While Will worked to catch his breath, Monroe glanced over.
Ah, and there she is, you lucky sod.
Her damp hair was sun-streaked, cropped close to her head. Her lips were plump. She sported freckles across her nose and cheeks. Her cheekbones were prominent, like a model's might be, but with her pointed chin, bee-stung mouth, and short locks, she looked like a wee pixie. He felt one corner of his lips curl.
Yours.
Had his arms closed more tightly around her? Monroe said,
"Her timing is impeccable. She's your lucky penny, brother."
Will's grip loosened, his excitement dimming.
"Just look at her. She's too... too..."
"Too everything he could ever dream."
"You know something's inherently wrong with her. She must be shallow, vapid, dim. A fiend-like web must have left his mark on her." "She's also young, Will. Whatever damage Webb might have done can be righted if you're patient with her." "Why would fate give me a human to protect? Especially this human?"
When he was raw with rage toward her father.
"Because, brother, you can handle it."
Will's instinct was pushing, his beast stirring for her. Resisting her pull was harder than the tortures he'd recently endured. He gazed down at her, rubbing his thumb over her bottom lip. It was plush, like a little pillow. The lower edge went straight across before curving up at the corners, a soft bracket. Gods, she was a pretty thing.
"Yours."
Mayhap she was his reward.
"To help me get over torture. Help me understand my past. Looks like I'll have to handle it." "Where do we take her after Loa's?"
Monroe asked.
"My first thought is Ben Rose. We'd be isolated up in Nova Scotia, away from all this commotion." "I say we stay in Louisiana, at Glen Reel. Strategically, it's easier to defend."
Though the compound consisted of hundreds of acres, it was completely walled in, with a trained watch stationed at intervals. The place was simply too close to the homes of myriad other factions not to be guarded like a vault.
"Aye then, I'll make the call."
Monroe briefly spoke to Madoch, Glenreel's master of the watch, explaining all that had happened, telling him to get the clan prepared for anything. Monroe hung up once they'd made the quarter, concentrating on driving. The maze of one-way streets was filled with drunken tourists, mounted police, and rolling lucky dog stands. Will gazed down at Chloe. Were her breaths shallowing?
Protect.
Another jolt of fear hit him.
I canna lose her, just when I found her. Faster, Monroe!
With his lips thinned, Monroe made a sharp left, heading the wrong way down a one-way street.
I'll get us there. Just have your credit card ready. Loa will be pissed that we're not there to flirt with her.
11. Candles. Taxidermy. Incense. Cannabis. As ever, Will's senses were overloaded by the cacophony of scents inside Loa's store. The bell above the door was still ringing as he and Monroe barged into the candlelit interior, Will with Chloe wrapped securely in his arms. He called,
Loa!
The scuffed wood floor creaked beneath his feet, but there was no answer. Whereas the front of the shop was a touristy affair, with fake voodoo charms and dolls, shelves of tarot card decks and black candles, the back was an authentic lore establishment filled with mystical wares, a lore mart. Monroe entered the concealed doorway first, Will right behind him. Loa was seated at a counter reading some tome with geopolitical in the title. Her smile was broad as she called,
Hot and hotter.
It dimmed when she caught sight of their battle-worn appearances and Will's bloody female.
Is that who them spirits are talking about? She said with her islander accent. The auction prize.
Aye, and she's injured, Will said.
My business how? She said, adding sarcastically, You buyin' a witch-healing potion?
Will slapped his credit card on the counter.
Aye.
She raised her eyebrows.
Like a seeking witchcraft? The apocalypse truly is here.
We do not have time for this.
With a shrug, she said,
I'll five, but they only heal non-lethal wounds.
Another jolt of fear. Couldn't be a lethal wound. As they charged toward five, Will read the overhead signs. Contraception. Glamours. Conjurings. Apocalypse preparation. Then, healing arts. At last. But the shelf was chock full of confusing vials and jars.
Which one, Monroe?
Monroe yelled over his shoulder.
A little help, Loa!
Look at the prices, she called back. You want the most expensive one.
Will spotted a stoppered vial of lime-green liquid for 350,000. Surely that cost the most. None doing. That was the cheapest. Monroe rifled through the rest, grabbing a lever-top jar filled with a tar-like paste for twice that.
Instructions come with?
Will asked as they barreled up to the counter. Loa arched a brow at him.
Your credit card, no Irie.
What does that mean? It's limitless.
Alternative payment requested. And I'm tacking on a sanitation fee. She's dripping blood.
Monroe was already rooting for his wallet.
Damn, Loa, you know we're good for it.
To Will, he said,
You might talk to Ronan. He mentioned making some charges. Had no idea he was talking about card-killing purchases. Could give a shite right now. Loa, how do we administer this?
Quickly, if you'd like her to live. See the sale table over there? What you want to do is use one arm to sweep all the goods to the floor, at cost. Once you've laid her down, clean her wounds with a case of Mount Doom Springs, then smear the paste on. Oh, and you must keep her warm with a one-of-a-kind dragon silk quilt.
She handed him a soft white blanket, bilking him thoroughly. Uncaring, he lunged for the table, sweeping merchandise to the ground. As basilisk piggy banks, Rothkalina snow globes, and Horn of Fame castings shattered, Loa's cash register sang ka-ching. Laying Chloe down, he covered her lower half with the blanket. Monroe had already retrieved the water and a beach towel.
"What else can I do?" Monroe asked.
Will answered, "Guard the door. Others might suspect we've come here." When Monroe jogged off, Loa sauntered over, studying Chloe's face. She nodded as if Will had said something to her, then turned to light black candles in a circle around the table.
"Oh, now you're going to help?"
He poured water over Chloe's wound, then assessed it. Redder, more inflamed than before, and much deeper than he'd thought. Gods, she was so small and pale, so human.
"The spirits like her. Not many pure hearts pass through our doors."
"Pure of heart?"
"You can who she is. Why would they think that of her?"
"She's of Webb. She hasn't followed his path."
"How can they tell?"
Will already believed this, felt in his gut that she was good.
"Violence and hatred leave marks the spirits can see. You're riddled with them."
"You have no idea."
"This one is not. Plus, she doesn't have them deep, dark secrets like you and Monroe." When she began chanting to Le Grand Zombie, Will's hackles rose. He'd once heard the priestess explain the difference between her magic and the magic of a typical witch. "Mine is darker, and while theirs is based on life, mine is steeped in death."
Loa gave a half-grin, as if someone had said something amusing. Creepy mystical bullshite. Lyke hated it. Then, in a sing-song voice, she called,
"Here, Boa! Come, my sweetheart!"
Summoning a pet?
"Loa and Boa? You dickin' with me?"
"I'm not jestin', if that's what you mean."
The lights began flickering, the candles fluttering. An ominous air stifled the room.
"There you are,"
she cooed, to the boa constrictor slithering from a hole in the floor. A big hole in the floor.
"Ah, fuck me!"
It must weigh 150 pounds. His instinct was screaming at him to get Chloe away from the snake, and Loa.
"Put that thing back in the motherfucking hole, Loa!"
As if Chloe sensed the snake, she turned her face into Will's palm. Unperturbed, Loa said,
"Boa keeps death away, and your female has lost a lot of blood. Do you want us to save her or not?"
Eventually, he gave a curt nod. But when the boa began to climb Loa's leg like a jungle gym, he almost lost his nerve. From her pocket, the priestess drew a pinch of dust, blowing it over Chloe's face. Again the lights flickered, the candle flames dancing.
"What the hell was that?"
"A narcotic. Something for the pain."
At his look, she said,
"Relax. Your new mate would just be a touch bam-cocked."
"What?"
"Buzzed."
Chloe moaned then, and her lids fluttered open to reveal the bonniest hazel eyes he'd ever seen.
"Hi,"
she murmured, blinking up at him. She raised one hand, evidently to press it to her forehead, but ended up missing. He swallowed, voice gone hoarse as he answered,
"Hi yourself." "You're my mate,"
he thought.
"I'm gazing down at my female, at her mesmerizing eyes."
Her irises seemed to hold every color, like when sunset burns across the sea. Golds, bronzes, greens, blues. The moment began to feel surreal, as if he were going to wake any minute, hungover and choking on rage as usual.
"Feel funny. I'm stoned, I think."
"We're getting you patched up, sweet."
He brushed her light brown hair off her forehead. Her tresses were drying into sun-streaked, tawny curls that felt soft as gossamer. She sighed.
You look different than I imagined.
The obligatory gushing would follow. You're so hot, you're gorgeous, you're sexy.
You have kind eyes.
Do I, then?
Again, his voice was hoarse.
Chloe, I need you to be strong and get well.
Because I'm your, mate?
And mayhap, because I fancy you. I want to know you better.
She motioned haphazardly at her side.
Rub some dirt on it. This'll be fine.
Rub some dirt, then,
he repeated, unable to keep the amusement from his tone.
I like your attitude, lass.
When she grinned crookedly, his heart thudded.
I think I'm bloody in love,
he thought. Gods, he was so eager for this. Too eager, running headlong. Experience told him to slow down, but this girl was rousing feelings in him he'd never experienced before. They were so different from anything he'd ever known that he wanted to seize these feelings with 10 claws.
Do not worry. I'll take care of you.
He grasped her hand in his.
You're going to be all right.
Chloe's gaze drifted to Loa.
That a snake?
Loa said, she keeps death away. Chloe blinked those big eyes up at him and whispered,
wish that was the weirdest thing I've heard tonight.
Loa popped open the medicine jar, handed it to him. He took a whiff. Licorice? With a grimace, he stuck 2 fingers into the witchy paste, pulling out a generous dollop. He murmured to the priestess,
is this going to work?
She nodded.
Between that, me and Boa, you're in good hands.
He told Chloe,
going to put some medicine on your wound.
While Loa chanted, he smeared the stuff over the gash. It bubbled like hydrogen peroxide, making Chloe wince. Sweat dotted her brow as she clenched her jaw against the pain, not making a sound.
Fierce wee thing. There's my brave lass.
Loa murmured,
distract her, wolf.
Oh, aye. Who do you play football for?
She grated,
you're looking at the Seattle Reigns playmaker.
He almost grinned at her cocky tone. His mate was a professional footballer. Who would have thought? Then his brows drew together. She'd said she was a center forward? Without a doubt, it was the most hazardous position, bound to leave those scars. She'd been getting her arse kicked out on a field.
Are you not a bit wee to play football in the big leagues?
At once her eyes narrowed, her stubborn chin jutting.
It's soccer! And I made the Olympic team, asshole.
Bloody in love.
He solemnly raised a palm.
My apologies.
She mumbled,
uh-huh, don't forget it.
Gods, she couldn't be more appealing to him. When her lids slid closed and she went limp once more, he said,
wait, Chloe, stay with me.
The priestess said,
no, let her rest.
I canna lose her, Loa.
Because already he needed her. In the short span since he'd found her, changes had been occurring inside him, things clicking into place. He now had a purpose. He was her protector. There'd be no more idling, no more benders. Everyone in the clan spoke of how rewarding it felt to protect a mate, but he'd never imagined that it would be life-changing. Monroe ducked in from the front to find Will clutching Chloe's hand in both of his. Will briefly glanced up, not bothering to hide what he was feeling. Monroe's brows drew together. With a nod of understanding, he turned back to guard the entrance.
"Just let the medicine do its job,"
Loa said.
"And remember, Boa's here."
While the paste continued to fizzle, Will wetted the towel and washed off the worst of the blood covering his mate. Loa brought him a saint's T-shirt to dress in. A gentleman wouldn't have looked at Chloe in her underthings.
"So, not a problem for me."
Peeling off what remained of her frock, he discovered that her figure was as bonny as her face. She wore a tiny bra over full, pert breasts. Her panties covered a lot, but they also highlighted how narrow her waist was, how toned her legs. He could tell she was an athlete, yet she still had curves in all the right places. Women's football,
excuse me, women's soccer,
was officially his favorite sport. By the time he was ready to apply a bandage, the paste on her wound had dried into a hard shell, and he could have sworn Chloe's color was already better.
"Is the shell thing normal?"
he asked, beginning to bandage her. Loa nodded.
"She's going to be fine."
She looked confident, but tired. This must have taken something out of her.
"Thank you, priestess. I'm in your debt."
"Wait until you see your bill. You'll find we're even."
As he bundled Chloe in the blanket, Loa said,
"You cared for her well and trusted the spirits. They ended up liking you. They want you to make a wish."
He scooped Chloe up in his arms, already thinking of getting her home.
"That's easy. I wish that this lass was immortal."
12.
"Let's see, daughter of Webb,"
Ronan exclaimed when Will and Monroe stormed into the lodge, covered in dried blood and with company.
"I suppose everyone knows,"
Will said, adjusting his bundled mate in his arms.
"We saw the forces mustering to protect her,"
Ben quietly said.
"Got Marach to tell us what was going on."
One phone call had mobilized hundreds of Lyke at the wall and outside their lodge. It wasn't every day that a member of the clan found a mate, especially not one in such danger. Getting through the handful of enemies who'd gathered on the other side of the wall hadn't proved too challenging. A centaur had attempted to ram them, which had only resulted in it decorating the Range Rover's grill for precious, thrilling seconds. But Will knew they'd keep coming, increasing their numbers. Ronan said,
"I thought you two would come home hours from now, reeking of nymph perfume and covered in grass stains. Now you've got a mate. Is daughter of Webb drunk?"
In a deadpan tone, he added,
"Like seeks like, huh? But I'm not judging."
"Smart arse."
Will gazed down at Chloe's pretty face, again thinking that her color was returning. Could she rebound from blood loss this quickly?
"She's not drunk. She was injured tonight, and she has a name. Chloe McCreeve."
Had his shoulders gone back? Bloody hell, they had.
"Well, it's your lucky day, gentlemen," Ronan said, "because I just had a sweet protection spell installed on the lodge. No one who means us harm can enter."
Monroe crossed to the window, raising his hand against it.
"I sense something's here."
"What?"
Will hugged Chloe tighter.
"We dinna use spells and magic,"
he snapped, well aware that he'd just used spells and magic. But not here. And never again. Slippery slope and all that. Monroe said,
"The spell might help us. At least the Praevis won't be able to simply trace inside and steal her."
"I purchased it from this young, beautimous witch," Ronan sighed. "Ach, you would too if you saw her. Legs for miles, goes by the name of Beely. She sells spells door to door like Girl Scout cookies. Put me down for 5,000 boxes of Thin Mints, you know what I mean?"
Monroe narrowed his eyes.
"Witchcraft is what you used Will's credit card for?"
When Chloe stirred against him, Will turned toward the stairs, keen to put her in his bed for the first time. Monroe followed, the boys hurrying up the stairs behind them. On the way up, Will remembered the hazmat condition of his room, the squalor. For the second time tonight, his neck heated. He couldn't stand the idea of laying her on those sheets. Where to take her? The guest rooms were directly beside the boys, which wouldn't do. He could swap rooms with Monroe, as they had shirts, or use the smaller room adjoining this one. But the wolf in him wanted his mate in his bed. As they approached the thick oak door, Will braced himself. His room was spotless? He swung his head around to his brother.
What?
Monroe leaned against the doorway, looking like the Godfather.
I made a call from Lois. You still have to get Chloe to like you. Saw no reason to load the dice against you from the outset.
Always having his back.
Appreciate it.
Will laid Chloe on the bed, covering her with another blanket.
Now get yourself cleaned up too, Monroe said. I'll watch her.
Will hesitated to leave her for even a second, but he had blood all over him.
Aye then.
He raced for the shower, ripped off his pants, then sloshed cold water over himself until the worst was removed. Less than 2 minutes later, he returned in a towel. Monroe motioned to Will's closet.
Clean clothes in there.
Will rooted for garments. He never cared about looking good. All his clothes were worn. He selected his least frayed pair of jeans and his nicest button-down.
Ronan asked, So is this a like-father-like-daughter situation? Is she also into slicing and dicing like he?
From inside the closet, Will answered,
She didn't know about the lore. Has never harmed any immortals.
Beauty!
Once dressed, it is what it is. He returned to the bed and sat beside her.
When she wakes, we need to ease her into this.
Will stared down both of the boys.
If I so much as spy a hint of your beast.
He trailed off, the threat clear.
You are worried about us, beastwise? Good one, headcase.
Ronan sat on the opposite side of the bed to study Chloe.
I have to say, well done, Chief. If being cute were a crime, she'd get the chair. Is she going to be doing the cooking and cleaning? Man, I hope she can cook.
Ben smacked him on the back of the head.
Mayhap you should be more concerned about whether she'll recover or not.
She'll be fine,
Will quickly said.
She's on the mend.
Aye, her color was better.
In fact, her skin now looked sun-kissed. From days spent on the field? Now that the worst of his worry had faded, he had new ones to contend with, namely those sexual hang-ups of his. The most unusual? Will unleashed his beast whenever he fucked, something no Lyke did outside of a mate's bed on the night of a full moon. If any Lorien female ever wondered what it was like to be a wolf's fated one, to be taken by the beast under the light of the moon, Will had showed them. The girlfriend experience? Try the mate experience. Or at least, he'd shown them a brutal, debauched rendition of it. Ruel had molded Will to have sex a certain way, and in 900 years, he'd never been able to refashion himself. For Will, every night was the night of the full moon. If he took Chloe in that state, she wouldn't survive the size and strength of his body, his rising beast. She wouldn't survive his Lyke claiming bite, much less all of that together. He gazed up at Monroe, who must have sensed his disquiet. His brother's slow nod and steady gaze said,
We'll get through this. Keep your head.
As ever, it helped. Ronan leaned down until he was almost nose to nose with Chloe.
I'd even go so far as saying she's as pretty as Beely, though this one's got more of an I eat testicles for breakfast kind of rock star look about her. Hey, speaking of hot arse, now that you've got a woman, can I inherit that pornucopia I found stashed in here?
Chloe headbutted Ronan, who howled with pain. Before Will could register his surprise, she darted to her feet and sprinted away from them.
13. Chloe charged toward a door, struggling to keep her balance. Her equilibrium was shot. Weapon. She needed a weapon. She'd run into a bathroom. Trapped. Shit! She'd heard males talking in a foreign language, words underscored with urgency. A door opened, closed. When she warily exited the bathroom, one man was standing alone in the center of the bedroom, with his palms raised.
Easy, lass.
She backed into a corner. The room was large, tastefully decorated, but definitely a man's domain. This man's. The most handsome male she'd ever seen. Molten gold eyes and chiseled features. Thick, dark hair that couldn't decide if it wanted to be brown or black. Broad shoulders on a muscle-packed frame. He had to be more than 6.5 feet tall.
Who are you? Where am I?
Do you not remember me from earlier?
As she might a dream, hazy memories arose of him stroking her hair, murmuring how brave she was. She remembered opening her eyes, seeing flickering lights around her. His face had been shadowed, but she recalled his brilliant colored eyes. And his voice. His sexy, sexy voice. It was deep and gravelly, shiver-inducing. That feeling of awakening multiplied until she almost winced.
Ignore him. Evaluate your field position.
Though her head ached and she was dizzy from the sudden movement, she assessed every detail of her surroundings, scouting for exits, weapons, resources.
You're safe, lass, he said.
When she didn't relax her guard, he added,
None of us would ever harm you.
She swallowed.
Who are you?
My name's Uyam McCreeve, but you can just call me McCreeve.
His Scottish accent was bone-meltingly hot.
Lord, help me.
What did he say his name was? It sounded like Ulam. When she tried to pronounce it back, he cut her off.
I said to just call me McCreeve.
She could swear he was disappointed by this. The gorgeous Scot with amber eyes was disappointed in her.
And you're Chloe. You look like a Chloe.
What does that look like?
The corners of his lips curled.
Cute.
Merely looking at his smile made her heart thud. He glanced at her chest as if he could hear it, and his smile deepened. Like all immortals, Lyke had superhuman senses.
He can hear it.
Face flaming, she glanced away.
What do you want with me? What happened when I was unconscious?
He sat on the edge of the bed and rested his elbows on his knees. She noticed then that he had on battered jeans but wore a nice black shirt.
After I saved you from witches, centaurs, and Kyrenos, I got you patched up, then brought you back to the house I share with my brother and two young punks who do not understand the concept of rent.
His tone sounded so normal. Wait. Patched up? She'd been injured in the melee. So why did she feel no pain in her side? Oh, God. What if she'd been out for days? And how could it possibly itch this bad?
That was tonight?
I took you to a healer of sorts.
Memories began to filter into her consciousness. His admitting she was his mate. Blood pouring from her side as the rain came down. The
voodoo?
She squeezed her forehead, vaguely remembering a sex pot with a pet boa constrictor.
Did you take me to a voodoo woman?
A priestess.
He grinned with perfect white teeth, adding,
We rubbed some dirt on it.
That grin. Again, she reacted physically, her heart speeding up. Had she ever beheld such kissable lips? Though she could count on one hand the number of guys she'd kissed, she could imagine in detail licking this one's lips, sucking on the bottom one. Inner shake.
Why am I in different clothes?
Someone had changed her into a saint's t-shirt that went down to her knees.
Because your frock was toast.
Frock? Not mine. They put me in that. God, her side itched. When she gave it a scratch, she found something hard underneath a bandage, something she desperately wanted off.
You had blood all over you from your wound.
So you took it upon yourself to wash and change me?
Hardly looked down at all,
he answered with a shameless wink. A man had been looking at her undressed. The first one. And he wasn't even apologetic. Chloe didn't have time for this. She needed to figure out what she was, what she soon would be. She needed to find her dad before the lure did.
I appreciate everything you've done, but I've got to be on my way. Do you have any clothes I can borrow?
His face fell.
You want to leave me?
She didn't figure this happened to the guy very often. Gorgeous did not begin to describe him.
You're safe here, Chloe. Just stay for one night. You can leave once you've recovered more.
She did feel safe with him, probably because McCreeve had saved her repeatedly. He'd gotten her healed just as he'd promised.
I'll see you well.
Starting out tomorrow, when she was rested, made the most sense. But this situation was riddled with so many unknowns.
Do you have any, well, expectations of me, since I'm your mate?
I expect you to let me protect you, he said. Nothing more than that.
Was he being truthful? Was this guy too good to be true?
You can't leave without a game plan. Those creatures will be searching for you.
Creatures?
Her life was a shitstorm, and that itching was driving her crazy. Maybe McCreeve could answer all her questions.
Okay, I'll stay tonight.
Maybe he could figure out what was happening to her.
Chloe, we need to speak about what's going on so I can better protect you. But first, are you hungry, thirsty, cold? Are you in pain?
She didn't have pain in her side, just itching. She hadn't eaten all day. She wasn't hungry in the least.
You're changing, Chloe. I am a little cold, she admitted.
He hastened to grab a blanket off the bed, rushing back to drape it around her shoulders. Then he motioned to a pair of chairs in front of a fireplace.
I'll start the fire.
As she took a seat, he set to work. Soon, flames were warming away the last of her chill. When he joined her, he asked,
Do you know where Webb is?
She wouldn't divulge anything unnecessarily about her dad, but admitting she knew nothing about all this seemed reasonable.
I have no idea. He's been missing for weeks.
He has not tried to contact you?
She was embarrassed to admit the truth.
Not a peep. Do you have any idea where he is?
Aduna. Word has it that he went into hiding. No one in the lure can find him.
Hiding? Then why hadn't he taken her with him? Maybe he hadn't wanted to interrupt her life. And maybe he shouldn't have left her ass so vulnerable. The roulette wheel of her emotions spun wildly. Anger, fear, sadness, anger, fear, sadness. As if he read her mind, McGreeve said,
He left you at home? open to attack. You're lucky to be alive.
How did the lore find out about me all of a sudden? Two different species were after me in one night, and that was before the auction.
What do you mean by two?
Earlier tonight, back at my house, I thought I heard something downstairs. I figured my dad had finally returned. Instead, there was an 8-foot-tall horned guy.
A demon, then?
Well, when I hit him with my baseball bat, that demon crushed it like a tin can.
McCreeve raised his brows like he was impressed.
You swung on an 8-foot-tall demon? You've got some fight in you, no?
She shrugged. For all the good it did. When I ran from him, I fell through a trap door and woke up with witches all around me.
Loathe witches.
His amber eyes flickered to an otherworldly ice blue.
They must have found out about your existence and scryed for you. Mayhap the demon caught wind of their plans. Those witches are detestable creatures. Do you ken what they are?
She nodded. I remember. They're mystical mercenaries. His gaze narrowed.
I thought you dinna knew about the lore.
I know all about it. I just never knew it was real.
At his frown, she said,
I read the Book of Lore. Before tonight, I thought it was fiction.
Who gave you the book?
My dad. But we never got a chance to talk about it before he went missing. I still have a hard time believing Detris are real.
Watch your tongue, lass.
Again, McCreeve's eyes flickered.
No one likes to be called a vilest abomination.
I thought it was a catch-all for, mythological creatures.
Lorians. Go with that word.
Okay. Great.
She'd insulted the one person in this entire lore world who'd been decent to her.
Did you read about Lyke?
I did. But I still have questions.
Dozens of them. When he waved her on, she asked,
Do you have a pack? How many of you are there?
Did she pass them on the street each day?
Are there alphas and betas?
We have a pack, but most Lyke belong in some way to the McCreeve clan. It's a kingdom as well.
Kennevain is the royal seat?
He nodded.
And I. There are alphas and betas. You're looking at one of the former. Lyke number in the hundreds of thousands.
Her lips parted. So many? So you're a werewolf?
And an alpha to boot.
We do not shift into wolves. Not like in the movies. We each have the spirit of a wolf inside us. We call it our beast. Sometimes it rises and takes us over. A liquilavade fascur.
What does that mean?
Letting the beast out of its cage. Once it's fully risen, then you can see it.
What does it look like?
When a Lyke turns, it overshadows him, or her. He also grows fangs and claws, and his face changes a wee bit. He gets bigger.
Bigger? He already dwarfed her 5'3" height.
It doesn't sound so bad. So why did those other Lorians scream at the sight of you?
He scrubbed a palm over his face, looking uncomfortable.
It takes some getting used to.
What makes it rise?
His eyes shifted away from hers as he said,
For most, it's an infrequent occurrence. In mated Lyke, it rises each full moon. Otherwise it remains dormant, unless a mate or pup is in jeopardy. Something along those lines.
How do you know I'm your mate? Again, she believed that he believed this. Didn't mean it was fact. If it was, I'd be freaking out right now.
Lyke have an instinct, a guiding force. Yet it's very developed, more so than with other shifters. When I scented you, the instinct told me you were mine.
he said. But she got the impression that he was simplifying his answer for her, or holding a lot back.
I've waited my entire life to know that scent.
Exactly how old are you? His discomfort seemed to deepen.
I've got some years on me. A few lifetimes. But I stopped aging at 32. Not much older than your 24 years.
She wondered how he knew her age, then remembered it had been announced at the auction. What would those creatures have done with me if you hadn't saved me? He hesitated, as if weighing the pros and cons of what he was about to say. Please, I need to know.
Rape and torture. Once they found Webb, they would have killed you.
Nausea churned. Because of my father's involvement with immortals?
Aye. He's a commander in the Order, a mortal organization that seeks to capture and study immortals so that they can better exterminate us. We believe it has ties to the military.
Exterminate? Just like the note in that book. Had her dad left her because she was becoming an immortal? A vile abomination? Anger, fear, sadness. Anger, fear, sadness.
Chloe, your father's a killer.
He's been an adoring dad to me. Supportive and loving. She pinched the bridge of her nose. So he kills snake creatures and centaurs who would rape his daughter. He kills witches who would auction her off. No offense, but I'm not seeing a problem.
Your father seeks to wipe us all out, even though Lyke do not harm humans. Nor do the members of my alliance. Not like Praevis immortals do. Have you heard of them?
Yes. They won the bidding.
They're the monsters of myth. Unfortunately, the Order does not discriminate between us and them.
That gave her pause. My dad isn't narrow-minded or prejudiced with humans. Why would he be with immortals? She clung to the idea that this was all a misunderstanding.
Duna know, but he had his henchmen do things that cannot be forgiven. Families were torn apart. Bairns, orphaned, some captured themselves.
McCreeve's eyes flickered once more, and sweat beaded his upper lip.
Order scientists tortured captives in sick ways, vivisecting them while they were conscious.
You're saying my father was responsible for all that?
He still is. There were 5 prisons. 4 remain. I vow to the Lord that what I'm saying is true, and that's a vow few Lorians can break.
Should she believe this stranger? When she recalled that slip of paper in the Book of Lore, Chloe realized that she couldn't dismiss what this Lyke was telling her. But she also couldn't accept that her dad would hurt children, no matter their species.
People at the auction wanted to use you to draw out your father, McCreeve said. You're the only lead in the Lore, it seems. No one can find him, and so very many crave vengeance. Not to mention the locations of the other prisons. They want their offspring and mates back, their siblings and friends.
She glanced up. Then why were you at the auction? He parted his lips, but said nothing. Oh no! Did you lose family? Children? Say no. Say no.
I canna have bairns with any, save for my mate.
His golden gaze pinned her.
With you.
She swallowed. This whole mate thing was unnerving. You didn't answer the question.
I lost no one, but I will not lie to you. I'm among those seeking revenge. I have as much call for it as any of them.
What happened to you? Were you in one of those prisons? The bleakness in his expression rocked her.
That's a discussion for another night.
He was. Dear God, she might have heard his capture. She'd thought that his furious roar had sounded familiar. If he hadn't lost anybody and he wanted revenge, then he'd been tortured. Her father might be responsible for the torture of this male, the one who'd saved her life. If there was one thing Chloe believed, it was that there were exceptions to every rule. She herself was an exception. While the rest of her teammates had long legs like gazelles, Chloe was a short badger, not exactly playmaker material. But she'd worked 10 times as hard as they had, and she'd prevailed. If other Lyca were evil enough to be exterminated, then she'd just found the exception in McCreeve. And for that matter, Chloe wasn't evil, yet her dad had shown her the book, had shown her handwritten words like foul plague and abomination. Obviously, the order was flawed.
You knew nothing of what your father was doing?
God, no! And if I had, I never would have stood for it. At her words, he exhaled a pent-up breath.
So, you will not hate us just because Webb does.
I can make up my own mind. His expression lightened.
Didn't know if you would want my head on a platter just for what I am.
And how are you handling the fact that I'm daughter of Webb? Seems like you would want my head on a platter just for what I am.
That might have been true once. No longer.
Will you hurt me to get back at him?
Nay!
He gave her a look as if the very idea was ludicrous.
Never hurt you!
And him?
Chloe, it's complicated.
He stabbed his fingers through his thick hair.
Things have changed. I can that. But I need to think on this for longer than hours. For now, let me enjoy being with ye.
He rose, then closed in on her.
Been waiting a long time for ye.
She stood as well. She could feel the heat coming off his body, could luxuriate in his masculine scent.
We'll figure out all this in the morning.
He eased closer still.
I've other things on my mind just now.
The Scottish god was flirting with her? She felt flustered for the first time in her life.
Awakening.
Before, whenever she'd felt attracted to a guy and thought about acting on it, she'd been filled with dread. She'd never told another, had never been able to understand it, but just the idea of talking to a hot boy had terrified her, as if she were about to embark on a trip from which there was no return. Like there should be a neon sign blinking over each guy's head. Here be dragons. She'd never dated, giving in to her fear like a coward. But now she felt zero dread, more anticipation. Like maybe those dreams of hers might come true.
Other things on your mind?
Like kissing you for the first time. Ah, Chloe. Your heart speeds up when you look at my lips.
Her face flushed with embarrassment. Right when she was about to make a smart-ass remark, he said,
My heart has not slowed since I first saw you.
She found herself wetting her lips. But after so many celibate years and such wariness with men, this easy acceptance was as bewildering as the dread.
I need a shower. She blurted, scrambling away from him.
He raised his brows.
I'm in need of one myself. And we like to conserve water around here.
14. McGreeve dogged her heels as she strode toward the bathroom. After his comment, all she could think about was showering with him, soaping his big body. At the doorway, she faced him.
Can I get some privacy?
He blinked at her, and she got the sense that she'd asked for something he considered odd.
Out, McGreeve! Shoo!
He refused to budge.
You lost pints today. What if you grow dizzy and slip?
Then he flashed a look of realization.
That could actually kill you. Fuck me!
You could die from a showerful.
Though she often cussed like it was going out of style, how else was she supposed to trash-talk opponents, she was unused to men doing it around her.
You must keep the door open, Chloe.
Did she dare risk it? The shower stall was as big as a room, with a screen at least 6 feet high. He wouldn't be able to see her. Her wound was itching like crazy, and her hair was dirty, with real particles of dirt. Fine, as long as you don't come in.
I will not.
He leaned his back against the door jamb and crossed his arms over his massive chest. Once she managed to stop staring at it, she turned toward the shower. In the stall, she removed her t-shirt, underwear, and bandage, frowning to find a hard black shell over her side. When she stepped under the water, she groaned with pleasure.
Lass? He called.
Nothing.
As steam filled the room, the itchy shell on her side loosened until she was able to peel it off like papier-mâché. She gaped at what was revealed, sagging against the wall.
Oh, my God!
What is it?
His voice was panicked, and it was coming from inside the bathroom.
Get out!
He didn't come closer, but he wouldn't leave.
Not until you tell me.
My wound, it's completely healed.
With a nice new scar.
Huh. Dinna think it would heal that quick. What about your other injuries?
She rolled her shoulders. No pain. She surveyed for bruises, found none.
They're all better.
Then I saw you well, just as I promised. So, mayhap, you can start trusting me a little?
It's not necessarily that I don't trust you. I just don't want you to look.
My mate's a bashful one, then.
His husky words accompanied a spray of water over her breasts. Bashful? Hardly. But God, just the way he said my mate had her heart speeding up again.
Are you 100% sure I'm... yours? I mean, when you sent me, don't you just smell a run-of-the-mill human?
Aye, you're mortal.
It followed that she would remain so, transforming only to a certain degree right up until her trigger.
Is it normal for a Lyke to have a mortal mate? Or does that mean I have Lyke somewhere in my line?
You do not have to be a Lyke to be mated to one. My cousin were the witch. Our queen is a vampire.
So Lyke mates ran the gamut. Maybe she was, in fact, his. Didn't mean he'd be hers.
Any Praevis mates? Or do you kill every one of them you come across?
She said lightly. He didn't match her tone.
I endeavor to,
he said in all seriousness.
Oh!
If she was turning into one of those, would he kill her, too?
Self-preservation, Chloe.
Okay, she would not be asking him about her symptoms.
So, how often do mortals and immortals hook up?
Not that often. But it's not unheard of, he quickly added.
I understand that you feel a connection to me, but if I'm not a Lyke, should I be expecting some kind of compulsion to like you, too?
Though she didn't feel compelled, this sudden disappearance of her customary dread puzzled her.
Nay, I'll be winning you with my own charms.
Of which there were so very many. Hey, hadn't she promised herself if she got close to the net, she'd score?
No, bad idea. What was she thinking? She hardly knew this guy.
Is that so?
Oh, aye. And I will be winning you, my Chloe. It's not every day that a sexy Olympian falls into my lap.
Olympian? Tonight, she'd all but accepted that she had some kind of immortal blood. Were the games beyond her reach forever? The soap slipped from her limp hand when it dawned on her
how much she'd lose. Family. A potential medal. Friends. She'd had her future planned out. She'd been making six figures, with Olympic sponsorships on the